Morning. If you would, open up in your Bibles to Joshua, the first chapter. Joshua chapter 1, we will begin there in a moment. It is certainly great and joyful to be here this morning. So thankful and grateful for all those that are here this morning. Those of our number, our members here, and those who are visiting, you are certainly our honored guest. And I don't know whose idea it was to have the rookie kickoff preaching after the week that we had last week, but I'll do the best I can to follow in the steps of J.R. Bronger, Brett Hoagland, Donnie Rader, and Jerry Feith, and then Harry teaching. It was such an encouraging week that we had. I guess that'd be 2 weeks ago, and then the students teaching and preaching at the end of that. But so thankful and grateful for the church here, the work that was done, and that, and the edification and encouragement that we got from that. And as I said on that Saturday morning, it was that week last year. That's why I'm here now. Because if it weren't for that week, I don't think that I'd be in the work of being a gospel preacher. I'm so thankful and grateful to this congregation for y'all putting on that week. And to be honest, Jade had, my wife had kind of forgot how good she had it because she decided to stay back in Kansas City and listen to JR and Brett this morning and not be here listening to me. But now, she's up there visiting her family, but if you would, keep her and the kids in your prayers as they travel home tomorrow. For our study this morning, I want to read from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 1, starting in verse 1, says, "After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, 'Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I am giving to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I have said to Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon as far as the great river, the river of Euphrates, and all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you, nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them.'" Let's pause right here and we recognize what is going on at this point. Joshua is taking over for Moses. Moses is dead, and Joshua is now taking over as that leader of Israel. And you can imagine what's going through his mind at this point in time. Okay, so Moses, the one that God had chosen to take and deliver the children of Israel out of Egyptian bondage, he is now dead and I am taking his place. And all these thoughts got to be going through his head. How am I going to lead these people? What are they going to think of me? How am I going to feed them? How am I going to protect them? And oh, by the way, God's wanting me to not just kind of lead these people in the wilderness, a nomadic tribe. We are going to go into the land of Canaan and go on this conquest. So how am I going to do this? And you got to imagine that there's all these thoughts that are going through Joshua's head on how he's going to manage this situation. It's a daunting task that God has given him. But as we pick up here in verse 7, God tells him how to lead them and what he must do. Starting in verse 7, "Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right, to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go." Pay attention, especially verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your path straight, or for then you will prosper, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." As we said, Joshua is now taking over as the leader of Israel. And all these different thoughts got to be going through his mind on how he's going to do this, how he's going to accomplish this task. Again, not only the task of protecting these people, making sure that they're fed, making sure that they're taken care of, But God's wanting him to cross over the Jordan, arise and cross over the Jordan and go and conquer this land. He's wanting him to go on this conquest. And on this conquest, he's going to have to go fight fortified cities. Cities that have been built. The cities such as Jericho have strong walls. God, imagine what's going through his head and his mind and his thought process. He's thinking, okay, how am I going to do this? What's the battle plan that we're going to come up with to go conquer all these cities? Not only that, but how am I going to protect these people if somebody tries to come after us? All these thoughts would naturally be going through his head, but this is what God tells him. God tells him, Joshua, I don't want you to worry about any of that. Here's what you worry about. You worry about keeping the book of the law, the word of God, and I want you to meditate in it. That'd be God's word, day and night. And you come to this point and you think all these thoughts are going through Joshua's head and God's telling him, don't worry about all that. You focus on me and my word and meditating in it day and night. You know, we come across this word meditate in the Bible in various areas. In here we think about the situation or the scenario that God has used in these, telling them to meditate in it. And sometimes we will, at least I know I have in the past, breeze through it, read through it, and we'll say, amen, I agree, we need to be meditating God's Word, we need to be thinking on God's Word and all those things. But then we don't give it much more thought than that, we kind of move on. What I want us to look at this morning is this idea of meditating in God's Word day and night. Meditating in it and the different benefits that are there as a result of it. God's given Joshua a daunting task. And he's telling him the way that you accomplish this task is you meditate in my word day and night. So there's definitely got to be something there. Something of importance that we can take to our life and that we can apply. And that's really what I want to focus on and what I want to talk about this morning. The first thing that we recognize from this text, and we've kind of already hit on it, but God tells Joshua what to meditate in, and that is in the book of the law. That's in God's word, as he says in verse 8. And this is extremely foundational. Because a lot of times, in today's society anyways, whenever we think of the word meditate, we sometimes might think of something such as the Eastern culture and in the Asian religions, such as Buddhism and Hinduism, where you go and you sit and you let your mind go blank and you try to achieve some sort of spiritual fulfillment by doing that. Just let your mind go blank. Don't think of anything. Don't think of nothing. Just sit there. That's not what God's telling us to do. It's not what he's telling Joshua to do. He's to meditate in something. It's not on what he wants. It's not on what Israel wants. He's to meditate on God's word. That's extremely foundational that we understand that, of what we are to meditate in. We're to meditate on God's word. This right here, God's word, this is what's going to guide you, Joshua. This is what needs to guide your thoughts. This is what needs to guide your conversations, is my word. And you need to make sure that you're thinking about that. In doing so, you're going to make sure that it's not going to depart from your mouth. This is going to be something that's on your heart and that's on your mind constantly. And so again, going back to the scenario that we're talking about that we see here, Joshua, all these things that got to be running through his mind, the different tasks that he's going to have to accomplish, the different things he's going to have to do in order to lead the children of Israel. And God tells him, I don't want you to go through and worry about all those things. Yes, you got to come up with different tasks and you have to complete those tasks. You got to come up with a plan. But I want you to focus on my word. That's what you meditate in. That's where your conversations are geared and centered around. That's where your thoughts are centered around. You know, it kind of reminds me of a few years ago we had a preacher that was up at Southside for a gospel meeting. And he was going through and he was talking about, people worrying. And especially you come to these different financial stresses that might be in one's life. And similar to Joshua, we come to these different either financial stresses or we come to these situations, whether it be a task or a job that we need to complete at work. And how often does that just consume our mind? That's what we're thinking about. That's what our mind's considered around. Our conversations might even be just completely consumed with it. As a result of that, God's word's not in there. What this preacher was talking about on that in his points, he said something that really hit home to me at the time, because at the time Jade and I had just got married, and a lot of times, especially whenever you're as young as we were, you start off a marriage and you make some financial mistakes and you end up in some bad financial situations. What he said is, you come up with a plan, you put that plan into action, and then you trust God to take care of the rest. See, it's not that we just sit back and then we don't do anything. Joshua couldn't just sit back and just sit and wait for God to push him. He had to do something. He had to put a plan into place to do these things, to take care of the children of Israel. But he wasn't to consume his mind with it. What he was to worry about and focus on was the Word of God. That's exactly what God wanted him to do. You come up with a plan, you put that plan into action, and trust me to take care of the rest. You meditate on my word. That's where your focus needs to be. Meditate in my word. You think about my word, not about this life and how you're going to accomplish the different tasks that you have. Not only does he tell him, God tell him what to meditate in, but he also tells him how often to meditate. And we see that he says to meditate in it day and night. This is I'm going to think about it a little bit and then, you know, move on. And it's definitely not just, you know, I'll think about it every now and again and then move on. This is a constant thing, meditating in it day and night. It's continual. Joshua wasn't to concern himself with things outside of the law. That's where your focus needs to be, Joshua. Your focus doesn't need to be on how you're going to accomplish this task and how you're going to be this great leader. You be this great leader by meditating in my word, and you let me take care of the rest. So God's getting that's what God's telling Joshua. Meditate in it day and night. That's where your focus is. Meditating in the word of God and making sure that it does not depart from your mouth. Not only does he tell him what to meditate in, that being the book of law, and how often to meditate, but he also tells them why he wants them to meditate. He wants them to do it so that you do according to all that is written. God makes it known the importance of obedience to his law. We see it here in this scripture, and it's foundational. We see this principle throughout scripture. My law you must keep. You need to do all that is according to it, all that is written in it, not just parts of it, not just some of it, not just most of it, all of it. And he tells him that he's going to do this by studying it, reading it, and then meditating on it. And in doing so, he tells Joshua that you're not going to go to the right and to the left. You're going to stay on that straight path. Again, this is a principle that we see throughout Scripture, and something that God's telling Joshua, look, I understand you have this important task that you're getting ready to embark upon. You are going to lead the children of Israel in conquest of Canaan. And I understand you might be thinking, how am I going to lead these people? How am I going to get them passionate about this? How am I going to get them fired up to where they're not going to be scared? God says, do that by making sure that you read my word, meditate on it, so that you do all that is according to it. What you do, what is in it. What's implied here is that by not meditating, by not reading his word, it's the fact that we will depart from it. We can depart from it. As Joshua gets to the end of his life in Joshua chapter 23, Joshua has gotten to the point where they've conquered all the land. They've gone on this great conquest. And they're now, and the land has also been divided up, it's divvied up, and Joshua calls the leaders of Israel, and he tells them starting in verse 6, says, therefore, be very courageous to keep and do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to the right or to the left. Unless you go among these nations, these who remain among you, you shall not make mention of the name of their gods, nor cause anyone to swear by them. You shall not serve them, nor bow down to them. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God, as you have done to this day. So as Joshua gets near the end of his life, he tells them, reminds them again of what God told him at the beginning. The fact that you are to do according to all that is written. That is where your focus needs to be. that if you don't do that, these other nations that are around you, these other nations that are around you, those different people, they will have an influence on you. But you're not to do that. You're to meditate. You're to think about. You're to ponder. What's supposed to be on your mind is on my word, not concerning yourself with other things. Not only does God tell him that, but he tells him that there's different benefits to meditation. The first of which we see is the fact that you will prosper and be successful. He also tells him that we will be strong and courageous, and that God will be with us. God will be with you. He tells him in verse 9 that you don't have to fear. He says, have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. You don't need to be afraid. You don't need to be dismayed. Know that I am with you. Because of that, you can be strong and courageous, but understand I am with you so long as you do all that is according to that is written. How do we do that? Joshua, you do that not by concerning yourself with the various tasks that you got to complete as the now leader of Israel. You do that by focusing on my word, on my law. You go back to that as the standard. You use that as a source of courage. Use that as a source of strength. And whenever you do that, that's when you're going to prosper. That's when you're going to have success. So as we see here, Joshua, again, is getting ready to take over as leader of the children of Israel. God lays out all these different things for him to focus on. Mainly, meditating on my word day and night. You don't go through and concern yourself with all the other things of this life. I know you got a daunting task ahead of you, Joshua. But your concern needs to be on me and on my law, meditating in it day and night, in obedience to it. So as we look at the application of this, of what God is telling Joshua to us, meditating in it, it being the Word of God, day and night, and we apply that to life, what are we going to see in our life? What application can we make from it? We see in... the first point is that we are to meditate in God's Word and in God's Word only. That first scripture there should actually be Psalm 119. So if you will, flip over to Psalm 119. We're to meditate in God's Word day and night. In Psalm 119, starting in verse 9, the psalmist says, how can a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed according to your word. It is through God's word that we can cleanse our way. And then as you go down through the section of scripture, it says, with my whole heart I have sought you. He talks about the fact that his testimonies, he will rejoice in the way of his testimonies. Then we get down to verse 15 of Psalm 119. I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. Understand that it is in God's word that we are to meditate on. It is our thoughts are supposed to be on his word. That's where our mindset is supposed to be. In doing so, that's how we keep our way straight. We note in Proverbs 23:7 that as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. And in understanding that, as we think in our heart, we understand from Proverbs 4:23 that we are to keep and to guard our hearts, for out of it springs forth the issues of life. So if these are true, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he, and we need to keep and guard our hearts, then we need to watch what we let in. We need to make sure that which we are reading, that which we are listening to, that which we are letting into our heart, into our mind, into our thoughts, is the Word of God, because it is then that which we let in that we think upon, and whatever we think upon, as we saw in Proverbs 23:7, that is who we are. So we recognize and we realize that there are so many different things, so many different distractions that can come in our way. That was one of the things that God's warning Joshua about. He's telling Joshua, look, I know there is a lot of thoughts going through your mind right now, because you're about to take lead of a daunting task. I mean, you think leading a company is difficult. You think leading a small business, a sports team, whatever is difficult. Imagine what Joshua is getting ready to go through. What he's getting ready to embark on, and the stresses and the different thoughts and the different things he can consume himself with. Trying to lead these people, the distractions that are there. God tells Joshua, don't worry about that. You focus on me and my word. It's not that you don't do anything. You put a plan into place, but you focus on me and my word. You know, for us in this life and in this day and time, you know, we, and especially in this country, we think of work and we note scriptures, and rightfully so, that we need to be a hard worker. And yes, we do. We need to be hard workers, and we need to make sure that we are out there doing not only the work of the Lord, but being a hard worker for our bosses, showing others how a Christian is to work and to live and all those types of things. But sometimes what ends up happening is we get so consumed with our work that we neglect not only God's Word, we neglect meditating on it. It's not even in our thoughts and our processes. I think back to whenever I was a football coach, especially whenever I'd get in season. And whenever we would get done after a Friday night, we would go watch film with the kids. And then that whole day Saturday, I'm breaking down film. And then Sunday night, I have a scouting report to put together with the rest of the coaches. And then Monday night, you're drawing up plays. And then Tuesday and Wednesday, you have practice. And then Thursday, a walkthrough. And then Friday, you're at the game and your thoughts on the game. And you have this cycle. There was no room for God in my thoughts. You know, I would sit there and I'd think, well, you know, I'm going to be there on Wednesday. I'm going to be there on Sunday. And when we would have gospel meetings, I wouldn't miss that. And I thought, you know what? That's when I'll get my spiritual edification. That's when I'll get what I need. But I'm going to tell you, the only time that God was on my mind during football season was Wednesday night and Sunday morning, and if we had gospel meetings the nights that I attended. Throughout the day, God was not on my mind. I was supposed to be teaching. Guess where my mind was? Football. I'd be there and it'd be crazy. Yeah, I'd even be there on Sunday services and Brett's sitting there preaching, and then the thought crosses my mind, football. How we're going to beat the next opponent. And it was my job, it was how I provided for my family. There was nothing wrong with working hard, but what ended up happening is I was not meditating in God's Word. I was not meditating in His law. I was meditating on football. I was meditating how we're going to beat that opponent. And I tell you, I'd get to the end of the season and it was so refreshing whenever I'd be able to get that off of my mind and I could then get back to studying and meditating on God's Word. You know, it's crazy because when we were in season, you knew that my mind was on football because that's where my conversations were around. Be driving out to go on a date with Jade, and I'd be talking about some kid, some dumb decision he made in the classroom, or talking about how there's no way we're going to cover number 23 whenever he runs that fade. It's on my mind constantly. Again, nothing wrong with the fact that I'm working hard, and that's how I supported my family, but whenever it got to the point where it was completely consuming my life, I was meditating on my work, not having my thoughts around God. My thoughts were around football. Whenever my thoughts weren't around God, it became a problem. My wife could see it. My kids could see it. Why is Dad stressed out? Why is he not happy? I'd be happy after Friday night win, but then I'd be stressing about the next week. And I'm sure if we think about our lives and you guys think about your jobs and your careers, you can see those moments too. And maybe not in yours, maybe it's in a parent or somebody else that you know. We need to make sure that while, yes, we are given the ability to work in this life and we're supposed to work and we're supposed to be hard, diligent workers, we need to understand where our focus needs to be. Focus needs to be on God's Word. There was nothing in of itself in football that was wrong. But the fact is, it came to dominate my thought process, and I wasn't meditating on God's Word. And as a result of that, the different issues of life were springing forth. That's where my cares and my concerns were. I wasn't thinking about God the way that I need to. So along with that, we need to understand and we need to think about how serious then do we take Bible reading, studying? How serious do we take sermons that we hear from the pulpit, that we listen to through different media? Go back and go listen to different sermons from preachers, gospel preachers around. How serious do we take that? Because we understand that we need to meditate in it. We need to meditate in God's Word. That means that we got to read and listen to and hear God's Word to start. Do we go through whenever we read the Bible and just do a cursory reading? Just read through it like it's a normal novel, not really getting deep, just reading it like it's a philosophy book? Or do we actually study it? You know, oftentimes I've found myself in my life, and you might too, y'all might have done this as well, where you're reading through God's Word and you're really looking for the Cliff Notes version of it. And college students or those who have gone through college understand what I'm saying by Cliff Notes. You're just looking for the, you know, I remember being in college, the professor, you'd have four different professors that would assign 100 pages a night. It's like, that's 400 pages. No, give me the Cliff Notes version. So I can go through and just read that. And so you get the Cliff Notes version, and all you do is you just kind of read a general overview of what it is, and so you can have somewhat of a discussion in class. That's not at all what God wants us to do. We are to study the book of the law. We are to study the Word of God. And understand, as we read in Romans 1:16, the power of what we have at our disposal, the power of what's here. Romans 1:16, as we heard many a times last week, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The Word of God, the gospel that we have, is the power to salvation. That is what we're commanded to meditate in. So if we aren't meditating in that, if we're not thinking about that, if we're not pondering about that, what are we thinking about? Something that isn't the power of God to salvation. You want to be saved. You want to spend eternity in heaven. You do that meditating in God's Word. Having your thoughts and your mind be consumed with all the different things of this world. So whenever we read the Bible, don't go after it with a Cliff Notes version idea of, I just want to get a general broad overview and then I'll let some other people fill in the holes. No, you study it, you meditate in it, and you come to know it. Guide your thoughts and your mind, your processes. We see that we are also... another lesson we can get from this is that we are to constantly be meditating on God's Word. As we read, as God told Joshua, you are to meditate in it day and night. We see the same idea in Psalm chapter 1. Starting in verse 1, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits at the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." We see what this righteous man does. He not only meditates in God's Word, but he meditates in it day and night. A constant thing. So we need to look at our own lives and start prioritizing things. We need to see, look at our lives after we read. Well, first of all, are we reading? Are we listening to sermons? Are we going to different Bible studies or even preparing for Bible studies and presenting information? But if we are doing that, we think about what we read or what was discussed. Do we think about it and let it guide our thoughts and our conversations? Or are we on to the next thing? What about this morning? After this sermon and after the next hour, whenever we go through Bible classes, and then after Harry gets up here and preaches at the 11 a.m. sermon or service, and then we leave here, are we just on to the next thing? You know, during this hour, you're like, yeah, amen, that's great, that's awesome. But then as soon as you walk outside those doors, your mind immediately goes to, at least here in a few weeks, I know I keep using this example, but I understand football's big around here. But you leave here and then your thought goes, you know what, got this football game I want to go watch.
or this baseball game I want to go watch. Or maybe you got some task, a job, a project you got to complete at work. Yeah, you thought about God's word and thought about what was taught here, but as soon as you walk outside those doors, it is gone. And you're on to your next task. Maybe you got a list of chores you got to complete when you get home, and that's on your thought and on your mind. We are to be meditating on it, thinking about it day and night. It's not just, hey, whenever I'm here, I do it and listen. Or even whenever I'm at home and I take my 30 minutes to an hour to do my daily Bible reading, once I'm done, I'm thinking about something else. No, you are meditating in what you read. You are meditating and think about what you heard so you can properly apply that to your life. Because in doing so, as we'll see in a moment, that's how you make sure you don't go to the right or to the left. That's how you make sure you don't depart from God's Word. Satan is so good at distractions. He's so good at the trickery and the things that he does. He makes you think you're all good because you're here, but then the moment you walk out that door, he gets your mind so wrapped up and consumed with the things of this world that you don't apply anything that you heard this morning or anything that you read tomorrow or the next day, whatever you read from God's Word. Don't let him trick you. Heed the command and the warning to Joshua. You know, in Kansas City, I'd preach every now and again when Brett was out of town. And I remember a couple sermons, I'd have some of the high school students come up to me. I'm like, that was really good sermon, JT. And my first question is, awesome, what'd I preach about? And the look on their face, that's what I thought. Where was your mind whenever I was preaching? Do we ever do that? You know, I found myself doing that a couple of times, just wanting to be nice and courteous and be edifying to Brett. Went up to him, told him, great job, walked out the door, and all I could remember was really the title of the sermon, not what he preached about. We do that. Or are we here meditating, thinking about, pondering on God's Word, and then whenever we leave here, making the proper application to our life because it is the Word of God changes lives. Not your job, not your career, not college, not high school, none of those educations. That doesn't change lives. That might change the direction of your life, but that doesn't change your life. The Word of God is what changes your life. The Word of God is the power of God to salvation. We're constantly be meditating on it, constantly be thinking about it. Are we doing that? Another benefit God tells Joshua is that by meditating on God's Word, it will help us stay on the straight path. This is the one where I really wanted Philippians 4:8. So if you will, flip over there. Philippians 4:8. As Paul is writing this letter of encouragement to the brethren at Philippi, and he's telling them, yes, I might be in chains, yes, I might be in prison, but it's all going to be okay. He's encouraging them. He gets near the end of the chapter, and he says here, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Other translations will translate this as to think upon these things or to dwell upon these things. Those things that will build us up spiritually and to lead us to God. Those things that we can find only in God's Word. Those are the things that we're to be meditating about. Those are the things that are to be on our mind. You think about the situation of where Paul is and just the brethren in general in the first century. The persecution that was rampant. And how easily they would get to the point where they could easily announce their faith. Say, no, I don't believe in God. You think of Peter. I don't know Jesus. I don't know who that man is. God says, the way that you stand strong, the way that you stay on this straight path, doing my will is by meditating on those things. They're constantly on your mind. It's not just a cursory reading of God's Word. It's not just being here at service and then leaving and thinking about other things. It's constantly having it on your mind. So whenever we're out there and we have people pushing us and coming at us and talking to us about God's Word and coming at us saying that Well, what you believe is wrong, and here's the truth, we can stand. Why? Because we constantly are thinking about meditating on God's Word. Whenever people come at you and say, oh, it's okay to have just a sip of beer. It's okay to go to the dance. There's nothing wrong with that. It's okay to wear a modest dress. There's nothing wrong with that. It's going to keep you standing and staying on that straight path. Well, if you're not putting God's Word into your heart, and not only that, putting it in there and then thinking about it, meditating on it, that doesn't center your thoughts. You're going to give in to it. You're not going to see a problem with it. You haven't had the Word implanted in your heart, constantly thinking about it. You think of Israel. As we went through in the auditorium class on Wednesday nights, throughout the book of Judges and even in the Kings, and what we see them doing, because as you get to the end of Joshua, Joshua commands them, Israel, make sure you do what is written in the book of the law. It is then that God will be with you. If you don't do what's in the book of the law, God ain't going to be with you. That's what Joshua is telling them. And we read in Joshua that after Joshua passes away, that generation does good, but then eventually there starts to rise up generations that know not God. And that's what we read in Judges chapter 2. Judges chapter 2, verse 10 says, when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them who did not know the Lord nor the work which He had done for Israel. Arose a generation that did not know God and did not know the work that He had done for them. It's interesting the link that we see throughout the Bible that meditating, reading and meditating on God's law is how we remember what God has done for us. If you think about us, how are we going to remember what Christ did for us if we are not thinking about what Christ did for us? You might have the idea or the thought, oh yeah, I remember Christ died for me, but truly remembering that I was in sin. I separated myself from God. But Christ came and died for me. A sinner. One who is the reason why He was on that cross. All those different thoughts only come to our mind constantly meditating, thinking about God's Word. Don't be that generation rises up to know not God. Don't be that individual. Be strong by meditating and being in God's Word. Lastly, meditating on God's Word will help us become spiritually successful. 1 Timothy 4, in verse 13, as Paul is writing to Timothy here, and he's telling him, he's encouraging him all these different ways, telling him how to teach, how to preach, how to work with the congregation. He gets near the end of his first letter to him, and he tells him in verse 13, till I come again, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Then he tells him in verse 15, you meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. What does he meditate on? He meditates on the reading that he's done from God's Word. Meditates on that doctrine. That's what you meditate on. And in doing so, it's going to be evident to all of your progress, your spiritual success, your growth that you have comes from meditating on God's Word. So many of us look at either different men of the Bible, or there might be men here that we've noted that we look up to, or women that we look up to as ones that have such strong faith. I'm telling you, they didn't get to that point by having their Bible open for 30 minutes a day, and that's all they consumed from it was that reading. They didn't get to it by coming here and sitting in the pew and then leaving and have their mind go elsewhere. They got to that point, to spiritual success, to growth, to being mature Christians by meditating on God's Word. That's what consumed their thought process. That's what consumed their life. I think of my wife's grandfather, Jim Sr., who passed away back in 2012. And even though I only knew the man for 5 years, he had such a big impact on my life. And while I understand there might have been points and times in his life where he wasn't that spiritually mature, he finally got to a point where that's what he thought about was God's Word. He thought about God's Word. He thought about how to apply it to his life. And he thought about how to help others out with it. Because he came to the point in his life where he realized that that's what was important. Yes, he ran a fairly significant company. But he got to the point in his life where that wasn't his concern. He did what he had to do, but he trusted God to take care of the rest. His meditation, his thought process, his conversations, even me, whenever I first came around and met him, somebody who was outside the faith, was always centered around God and His Word. By the time he passed away, he was a mature Christian, one that had such a huge impact on so many in the Kansas City area anyway. But from our understanding since his passing, the stories that we've heard, his impact elsewhere. You become spiritually successful by meditating on God's Word. Think about preacher training last week and all the men that came up here and the things that they talked about and they said on that Saturday morning whenever they told the congregation what the week meant for them. And I remember so many of them, in particular, I remember David talking about this, and he talked about it in the middle of the week too. He's talking about, I woke up Monday morning and it was early in the week anyways. He's talking about, trying to check emails and keep up on it. He said, eventually, I just shut my laptop, didn't even worry about it. And then it was real interesting what he said when he came up here, whenever he and others talked about how close they felt to God and how much growth they had in that week because there were no distractions. 24/7, the only thing that was going through their thought, through their mind, through their thoughts, was God's Word and how to apply it to my life and then how to present it to others. And you talk to men that come out of that week and talk about how edified they are. I know you can talk with Matt. I know you can talk with all the Bowles boys. I know you can talk with Kevin and anybody else here that was in that week, to Ryan, to Thomas. How edified they are. Because throughout that week, you don't have time to think about anything else. You don't have time to think about the football game or your work or your school or any. All you have time to think about is God's Word. And it's constantly on your mind how to study it and then apply it to your life. It's such an amazing week for those who go through it. I encourage anybody who has opportunity to do it. But the point being, meditating on His Word constantly, not having those distractions, it's how you become spiritually successful. You can see it in that week. So we think about God's Word. We think about what we see here, Him telling Joshua, the fact that you are to meditate on My Word day and night. What God is telling us is don't focus or worry about your career, the job or project that you're working on. Don't focus on your academics, young people. You're in school and I know you got a tough test coming up, or you got a college entrance exam, or you got a college test and you got to get a certain GPA to get into this school. Don't worry about that. Yes, you put in the work, but that doesn't consume your thoughts. You come up with a plan, you put the plan into place. You don't worry about those different things. You don't worry about your activities or your athletics and how that's going to impact your life. You focus on seeking first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. Abiding in My words, as Jesus tells us in John 8:31, and letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly, Colossians 3:16. You do that. God says, I'll take care of the rest. Jay and I have this sign in our house that I think about whenever we leave that says, work hard, pray hard, trust God. Yes, we work hard. We come up the plan, we work hard, but we need to make sure that we pray hard and that we trust God and that we're focused on Him, meditating on His Word. And so I leave you with this challenge this morning, and I know I'm bringing out my inner Brett and running us right up until class. But I have a challenge. For the next few months, pick the book of the New Testament. Any book. Don't pick one that's so daunting and so big. Pick one of the smaller epistles. Study it. Meditate on it. Get to know it inside and out. Have conversations with others about it. What you have learned, how you can apply that to your life, how they can apply it to theirs. Do that, and I promise you, it will impact you. So many times we think, I go to church, but God's Word's not impacting me. It's because you're not thinking about it. You heard it, but you didn't hear it. Listen to it. Have it be on your heart and on your mind. Meditate on it constantly, and it will impact your life. I thank you for your kind attention this morning. At this time, we will be led.